Is it on? Good. I know folks are still coming in, so we'll give them a few minutes to get in. There's something happening at that big table out there that's like you sign up for grand prizes, I guess. I'm not sure. So we don't want to hurry them from that. All right. Hi there. Whenever you say, what time does it start and finish? Because I feel
it
like we're
at 8 or 9.
Okay.
It starts at 8 and end at 9.
And end at 9. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can still do that.
Yeah, there's a 15-minute break from 9:15. So if you go a few minutes over,
it's okay. Yeah, a little cushion.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm just going to talk really loud.
You want to use the microphone? Yeah, I was having a hard time figuring out when start, because it's a little behind. But it'll all be fine. Don't sweat it. I can get their attention for you. All right, boys and girls, if you can hear my voice, clap once. If you can hear my voice, clap twice. Very good. My new friend, Brianna, has a couple of things to share with you, and I told her I would get your attention. Everyone, give Brianna a big hand. Isn't she cute? To have studied. It's not Saturday, it's Friday.
You have how many? 16. Does anyone have more than 16? 28. More than 28. I think 28 is pretty good.
That was pretty good. I like that, Melinda. Good job. It is so great to be with you guys. I love whenever we have a kindred heart, you know, teaching preschool. Last week, I had the privilege of having Devin dropped off early. Don't you love it when a parent comes by and says, listen, I need to be somewhere. I need to drop him off early. And you're like, well, I'm still putting stuff out. I'm still gathering up, you know. And it's like, well, Devin, why don't you come be my helper? Thanks, Mom. And so, anyway, poor kid. He didn't have a choice. It was the four-year-olds, the pre-K. And so everything was pretty much set that I needed to do. And I just was, you know, having a moment to breathe. If you want to call it pray, fine. But not really. I just was, you know, taking it in. And so, anyway, I said, Devin, why don't we get started with building some blocks? Because, you know, I haven't set up the blocks yet. And so I said, here's how Mr. Mark sets up the blocks. I don't know if y'all do this, but I just pretty much roll the block shelf out to where I want it and dump it. It's fast. It's loud, but it's fast. And so I said, here's what we're going to do, Devin. While we're waiting on our friends who won't be here for 15 more minutes, we're going to try to use every block and build something. He said, all of them? And I said, yeah, that was all the words he said. And I said, all of them, let's get to work. And so we started building. And we built this tower, and it was getting higher and higher. You know, there's a rule how high you can go. What's your rule? Somebody, what's your rule? How high can you go? Top of your head? You're one of those. Top of the shoulder. As I have one of those teachers too. Mine's top of the head too. When we finished, we'd used every block, and it was amazing. Like, I had so much fun. It was so amazing. And I took Devin's picture next to it. It was to the top of his head standing up. But the rule is you have to be sitting down, top of your head sitting down. It wasn't to the top of my head sitting down. I had to sit up real straight. But still, it worked out fine. I loved it. We had a great time. And you know what? Devin and I hadn't had much time together. And it actually turned out to be a good thing that his mom brought him early, because he and I got to build a relationship that he often is so quiet and shy and just doesn't speak up. But this day, it was just he and I. And so some of the times, the things that we get happen to be a blessing, a thing that God organized just for you with that child. And you better be careful not to be angry about it, because it could be a gift. I want to talk about making connections, and you probably got the handout whenever you came in, just so you can follow this acrostic. But people make connections in a lot of different ways. My really good friend, Wanda, she had gone to the Western Sizzlin'. Do y'all have Western Sizzlin's here? It's a steakhouse. And so, anyway, they'd gone to the Western Sizzlin', and her elderly mother was sitting across the table from her, and she was eating, and she got choked on it. And she knew she couldn't do anything. She was going to pass out soon. She needed help, and her mother couldn't help her. So she just got up and went over to this other booth and got this man up out of his booth and wrapped his arms around her and began to give herself the Heimlich maneuver with him right there behind, pulling on her gut and trying to give herself the Heimlich maneuver, cleared her airway. She turned around and said, listen, you saved my life. And he said, listen, lady, I don't know what we were doing. So the truth is, you can just be sitting in a booth enjoying your supper, and somebody starts making a connection with you. And so you have to look at when God gives us opportunities to make connections, they're for a reason. Just like Devin being dropped off early last week, it was the beginning of a great relationship that he had not afforded me yet. And that was fantastic. That was fantastic. So tonight, let's talk about what it is to connect with these children. There may be some people in your church, and there are a lot of people, who don't understand what we do in early childhood education. They believe that we're babysitting in there, that we're taking good care of those kids and having snacks. Well, Yes, but we're teaching the Bible. We're Bible teachers, and we're laying foundations for faith that someone else is going to be building on too, because we need to do a good job being a Bible teacher. And so I want you to really embrace the idea that you have to teach differently, because early childhood education is different from every other age group in the church. It's different than the elementary, it's different than the youth, it's different than the adults. And those who are not on our course will not understand, because this is the course we're on. That's why we have all those learning centers. That's why we have these opportunities to bring to life and give hands-on experience and then teach the Bible truth. And I'll talk through some of that. But I want to first talk to you about what it is to connect. So the first C, if you would like to follow along with this and write these down, the first one is to celebrate the uniqueness of each child. Celebrate the uniqueness of each child. Are children all the same? I can tell you're veteran teachers. They're not all the same. But so often, we see teachers who are treating them like they're all the same. But they don't all like the same thing. They don't enjoy participating in the same thing. And so we have to be careful that we understand the uniqueness of each child. I want to encourage you, as your pastor is shepherding this flock, and it is a big flock now, as he's shepherding this flock, and it's divided into small groups, small flocks, you are the under-shepherd for this flock. And for you to know them, to be able to come into their life and to help them grow and to learn, that's a big, big responsibility. And it's amazing that God would call us to do such a great thing, is to know this child and to begin investing in them. So you've got to know how it is that they like to learn, things that they're drawn to, things that they're fearful of. And so let me just talk about, just briefly, about the different learning approaches. Because you have a tendency, and I have a tendency, to teach with what I enjoy the most. I'm a visual learner. I like to do the craft stuff. I'm a relational learner. I want to do it with lots of other people. But that doesn't mean Devin is a relational learner. He would rather be a reflective learner and work alone. He's very content with that. And you may be that kind of a person as well. This is just your preference. There's not a right or a wrong. And so the different learning approaches are a visual learner, an auditory learner, and I do have Lily Pepper is in my pre-K class, and that's her name, and she is a hot chili pepper, Lily Pepper. And so she walked up to me second Sunday in my class, hand on hip. Listen, I'm the boss. She said that to me. And I leaned down and looked into her eyes and said, I am the teacher and you are here to learn. That's what we are. Now let's go. But I needed to be very clear about that. Like, she was trying to be clear with me. I didn't even clear with her. So she is an auditory learner. She wants to hear it. She wants to speak it. She's got plenty to say, and she doesn't hold back often. And so a logical learner, the kids that love those puzzles, they want to put together when it's time to figure something out. They're trying to get it all fit together, the logical learner. And I appreciate that, because that's your tax accountant. They're logical learners. They figured that. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. And so the natural learner, whenever you bring things into your centers that are of nature, and honestly, you can have a nature center, but the truth is nature can show up in every center. You can paint with it. You can do matching and sorting with it. You know what I'm saying? It can show up in your home living when you do the sink and float and wash the baby. I mean, you've got natural resources that you use in that. And so those are often great talking points for us to use when we're conveying the biblical truth. The next one, a physical learner, and please, let's camp on this for a moment. The physical learner is, he needs to get up and move. You did hear me say he does need to get up and move. Sitting all the time is just not going to work. Let me give you an art activity that a physical learner enjoys. I have a baseball helmet that I have put a paintbrush on, and you have to dip it in the paint. I have a piece of tubing, clear tubing, and you stick it in that clear tubing. It's just duct taped on. I mean, we're not that fancy. And so paper on the wall and drip cloth and everything, you know, and you have to paint with your head. Does that make sense? Paint with your head. That's a physical learner gold mine right there, because it uses gross motor skills, large muscle groups, instead of this thing. You know, painting like this is one thing. Getting to stand at the easel and there's a line, you can't cross it, and you have to stretch to do it. Good physical activity. That's a good one. Using blocks that you have to get from over here and carry them over there to do it. Good physical activity. I think you ought to watch. I haven't seen your classroom, so I want to say watch for the way your room is arranged. Physical learners have a tendency to want to run round and round and round. Do y'all have round and round? Okay. I mean, I thought maybe you don't. And so we all do. And so you have to, like, have furniture peninsulaed out so it interrupts that skating pattern, and we can do it. But there's lots of physical learning activities that we can do, not just in our group games, but in our learning centers. But we have to be able to remember the physical learner is going to want to stand. He's going to want to use large muscle groups. So if you have a child who feels like a discipline issue that you're trying to engage him, it may be that you're asking him to sit still, and he can't. I have tried something before, and I challenge you to try it too. Some children who are on medication, hopefully not that young in your preschool, but they sit on a partially inflated beach ball, and having to get centered on that helps them the whole time they have to sit. But if you're going to have one, you better have them all. So, but they're cheap, and so it's easy to work with, and having that cushion helps them be more centered. Well, let's keep going. A relational learner, that's the child who is definitely involved with everyone else. They want to work in groups. They don't even care what the project is. They just want to be with the rest of the group. And I have learned that, do y'all ever get the water table out? No. And so I love the water table. I'm all about the water table, but no, teachers aren't either. And so anyway, I have the water table out. Well, everyone wants to do the water table. Like, you walk in the door, it's like a magnet. That's probably why no one wants to do the water table. And so I say, just put a piece of paper on the wall, and you have two people. That's all you can have. And then when someone else comes, you can say, all right, Cameron, you can be next. I'll write your name up here. And when one of these friends leaves, then it'll be your turn. I'll call you. Find something else that you can do until I call your name. And as long as it's fair play, they can see their turns coming, they'll be okay with that. Works great with the easel, too. There's only two at once can do that. So as long as it can be fair play, then we'll all do it. But your relational learner is going to want there to be a crowd. They're going to want to be a group, or to at least be with someone else. And so be careful whenever when you have these relational learners. They want to talk, socialize during the story and the group time. And sometimes they have to be separated, and sometimes they have to sit by you or whatever. Just recognize the uniqueness of that child before you get frustrated. They may need guidance in order to help them be able to temper that. And then the reflective learner as well, you feel like you need to draw them in to be involved with the group. They may not want to be involved with the group. They may just want to rock the baby by themselves and sing to the baby or whatever. Fine, let it be. They are reflective learners. Just recognize that and appreciate that about them. Finally, the last one is a hands-on learner or a kinesthetic learner. The hands-on learner really wants to get into it and play with it and do it. Have you ever been helping them with something and they're like, me, you know, because they want to do it? that's the hands-on experience. You want to let them have that, let them do that, and that's terrific. Matter of fact, I think a lot of like the puzzles, the blocks, most of all of the centers we have are all such great hands-on learning. They may have to be taught how to do it. Let me give you an example. Such as in home living, you may have children who aren't very interested. I was teaching two-year-olds and realized that they didn't get it in home living. They got that there was a baby and there was a sink and a stove and blah, blah. And so they got that, but they didn't understand how to get lost in it. It's their drama. It's their imitative play. How to do that. And so one day I went back there by myself and I wrapped up the baby. I had several babies that day for this reason. And I just started going, wee, 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 wee. And so I was trying to give it a bottle, wrap it up, wee, wee, wee. And I start this imitative play with some sound. And oh, here they come. That baby's crying. What? And so they got over there and I was like, Blake, this baby's crying. You need to give it a bottle. And I gave it to him, and then I gave another one until we all had them. And I was like, what are y'all going to do? The babies are crying. And they joined me in that, and it was so much fun. Same went true over in blocks with the trucks. None of the trucks had motors, you know. They didn't. They didn't understand imitative play. And so when I introduced that, then it became so much more fun to do that kind of a play. And so sometimes you have to be the one to show them, how do I do this? And then once they're engaged, then you can teach the biblical truth today that it segues to. You know, it segues to a biblical truth, right? We're not just playing just because it's fun. So there's learning to do. And so I encourage you to look at, as your children are growing, maybe they don't understand how to do the learning center, and you could show them. All right, well, I kind of spent a long time with that, so let's keep going. Observe your kids early. Make a list of the children and write down what are the things they like to do. I remembered with Austin, he would come in the door. I would greet him. He would come in the door, and he was like the Tasmanian devil, and he would just like spin out of control until he had accomplished all of the learning centers. Done. And it had only been like 5 minutes. I mean, we had so much more time than that. And then one day, I found, I had this lacing activity going on, and I had gotten those, you know, those plastic canvas things that your grandma puts yarn on to put over the Kleenex box? That stuff? Is that called plastic canvas? I don't know. And so no one was looking, and I went there with a paper cutter and hacked them up into shapes. And so I used those to lace and had some plastic lace, and he worked and constructed and worked and worked and worked the whole time on it. And when I said, in 5 minutes, I'm going to sing the cleanup song and we're going to go over and have our story, just finish what you're doing. And he said, no, I haven't done anything else. And I was like, I know, it's pretty good. So, and don't you know, when we were done, it was such a marked difference. He loved doing that. I took all of that stuff and put it in a big manila envelope and wrote, Austin's lacing. Stored it in the cabinet because one of these days it's going to be a rescue game with him. I'm going to need it. And so I wanted to take note that he enjoyed that. The same happened with Castle in the two-year-olds. She only wanted to play with the babies. Like, she wouldn't try art. She wouldn't try blocks. She wasn't going to try anything if there wasn't a baby. So she just wanted the babies. And so I planted babies at every one of the centers and told her, that no, that baby can't leave here. It has to stay here. And so she had to stay in the blocks. And I said, let's build the baby a bed. Let's build the baby, and kind of introduced her to blocks, trying to get her, you know, off high center with the babies. And so it worked out pretty good. And so I just want you to know that there are lots of ways to introduce kids to new things, but you have to kind of know them. So take note of them. Remember this, children, especially when they're trying new stuff, it's kind of a high-risk moment for some of them, and they get nervous, or they might even cry if it's frightening to them. Remember, we as adults, we laugh about 15 times a day. I think I'm an overachiever. But 15 times a day, but children laugh 200 times a day. It's amazing. I promise, if you will start laughing in your classroom, that it really changes the climate. Children are drawn to your happiness. They're drawn to whatever it is you're doing that you're laughing about. And whenever I've been over there when the blocks fell and someone was ready to, like, you know what I mean, because you knocked it over. I mean, that's what you do with blocks. You knock them over. That's why we build them, is to knock them over. And so, and at that very moment, start laughing and clapping. That was wonderful. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. And defuse the anger moment like crazy, because it was just such a change from what was going on. I promise you see what laughter would do with the temperature in your classroom. It will give you a lot more edge. Okay, so the C is to celebrate the uniqueness of each child. The next one is O. O is for outside the classroom connections. Outside the classroom connections is when we are able to have our strongest connections. Maybe, have you ever been in church worship or in the hallway, even at the store? I know this is a big city, but I'm still going to say it. And a child hugs you around the knees. They see you. You're their teacher. And they hug you. Maybe it was just in the hallway or something. But they saw you and they hugged you. They ran to you. They wanted you. Those connections outside the classroom are so strong. And if there is any opportunity that you can go and see them at their dance recital, at their karate test, at their school, at their school program, if it's their piano recital, you know what I'm saying? There are so many things. Even if you drop by their house just to say hi, in just a few moments on the porch, you would know so much about that child that the connection would be so strong. Just remember, outside the classroom is such a powerful, powerful time to connect. Bill Emiot, one of my dear friends, he said when he was in second grade, his grandfather died. And he said, I don't remember a lot about what was going on with all that. It was sad. Lots of people came to our house. He said, well, you know, in Georgia, they feed their grief. And I said, well, they feed their grief everywhere. And so, but somebody rang the doorbell. His mother went, and it was Miss Faye, his Sunday school teacher. She had brought some brownies. And when his mother welcomed her into their home, she reached out to take the brownies and thanked her. And Miss Faye said, I'm sorry, these are for Bill. And she said, okay, I'll go get him. And so she went to go get Bill. And when Bill came in, she squatted down, all the way down, so they would be eye to eye. And she said, Bill, I wanted you to know that when I was about your age, I remember when my grandparent died. It was very difficult. And I was thinking about you, and I made these brownies with you in mind because I love you. And I want you to know I'm praying for you. And he said he didn't remember hardly anything about the funeral, but to hear her say those things to him and to recognize him it was burned into his memory. He said, I even went to the funeral, and I remember looking all around the church. There were so many people, and then he finally saw her. Miss Faye was in the balcony, and she waved at him. And then he thought, it's okay. She had a great connection with him. Your ministry to children often are going to be the strongest outside of the classroom. So maybe it's the birth of a new baby brother or sister. Maybe it is a tragedy in their family. But pay attention. That's your flock. You need to minister to them when it's time. All right. The next one is N. And N is for a nonstop love. A nonstop love. It's when we say to these children, I love you, and you share that love with them. Now, I have to tell you, I'm all about telling my family I love them, and I'm sure you do too. You tell your family, you tell your kids you love them, and there is a right place in the church for you to tell these children that you love them. Every Sunday when it's time for me to leave or for them to leave, I say to them, I love you. I hope you have a happy day. I tell them they're special to me. That love is so important. And I have traded off with an ETC teacher. Do y'all have that? Like the second hour teaching? Okay. Heart to heart, whatever you call it. Baptist name, whatever they want. So anyway, I'm kidding. Kind of. And so anyway, I the teacher volunteers were coming in, and I said, and by the way, this is a really good tip. I said to them, today we learned this and this, and we played this, this, and this. I think they would do this one again. Don't do that one again. It's done. It won't serve you. But you could do this one again, and here are the items over here. And the handing off of the baton was so much better. People wanted to work in my classroom because I told them what was working, what we had done, what you could still do. And then I said, this one lady in particular, I said, now when it's time to leave, you have to squat down and tell each child that you love them and that you hope they have a happy day before you let them go out the door. She said, what? And I said, well, if you can't squat, you can pull a chair over here and sit on it, but I want you to look them all in the eyes and say, I love you. I hope you have a happy day. And she said, okay. And I said, well, if you can't, I'll come back at the end of church and just do it myself. And she said, I can do it. So she did. And so, because I went back in to gather up, you know, the laundry basket full of stuff that you carry from your house. Y'all don't do that. So I had to go get my laundry basket. And when I walked in, she was still there. And she said, I did it. I said, what? And she said, well, I told them all I loved them. I said, well, you did good because our church loves them. You spoke for our church. She said, oh, okay. Like, she didn't even get what she was doing. I think the children need to know that they're loved by their church. When things are not great, it's nice to know. I could go back to church. That's a place I was loved. You know, you are the one starting that. You lead in that. So be that loving teacher. All right. I have to tell you this story. I was going to be leaving my church in Chickasha, Oklahoma, home of the Fighting Chicks. That's our mascot. My son graduated. He's Chick alum now. So nonetheless, Chickasha. I was moving to Nashville to work for Lifeway, and I was teaching kindergarten at the time. And so I told the boys and girls, I'm going to be moving. This is my last Sunday, and then Mr. Keith is going to be the new teacher, so you know him, but maybe I can visit sometime. And they all just looked at me like I hadn't even talked. I don't know. They didn't even say or respond in any way, and I was just about to lose it, but they didn't respond in any way. And so we went on to church. After church, Brandon came up and grabbed me around the legs and was holding on, and I squatted down. He was crying, and I said, Brandon, I thought he was hurt. I said, what's wrong? And he said, Mr. Mark, please don't leave. I love you. So I cried and said, okay, I won't. So, no, I had to. But I have assured him that Mr. Keith loved him too. And I want to just say, the love that we give to our children, they reciprocate that. It's a great blessing, and I want to encourage you to do that. So if you want to connect with kids, you must decide to love them with a nonstop love. The next one is no shortcuts. No shortcuts. That's the next N. No shortcuts. It's not popular to go the extra mile. Not in our society. Just do what has to be done, and let's get on out of here. We see a lot more people who don't even stay after 5 o'clock to get a job done. Well, it's 5, I'm leaving, I'll work on this more tomorrow. You know, it's just that kind of a thing. Matthew says, if a man beckons you to go with him 1 mile, you should go with him, the extra mile. To go, to carry that and to go the extra mile. I want to encourage you to be a person who's not just a warm body, but a person who is going the extra mile. What will it take for you to prepare in order to teach your class in a way that you could go pro? You know what I mean? This is what it would look like if I went pro as a teacher in here. These are the things I would do. Let me tell you what I do. I take my curriculum and I look through the whole quarter. I know that sounds like a lot. It's really only 13 lessons. I don't read it like to devour it. I look at all the activities and I simply underline what is already in the resource room or in the classroom. I just underline, go through it all, underline, and I circle everything that I'm going to have to bring. You know, in the laundry basket, I'm going to have to bring. And often it's an orange or it's a, you know, a kitchen utensils that we're going to trace around. You know, it's just something that the church doesn't need to buy. I'll just bring mine. We'll do. It's clean. I made sure. So that's the kind of thing. So I circle those things, and that way I'm not caught off guard, and I know what the unit's about. Oh, this whole month is about Jesus. This whole month is about Moses. This whole month is about, you see what I'm saying? And I'm not studying for a test. I'm just kind of getting the lay of the land, just to kind of get my bearings. And then as I get ready from week to week, I've gotten so much more accomplished just by taking 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it takes, just to kind of look at it and get acquainted with it. So I encourage you to not be living from Saturday night to Saturday night, but rather get the scope and then start going. Because those Saturday night times are going to come. That's just all there is to it. So there are no shortcuts. Rafe Esquith, in his book, There Are No Shortcuts, he's a school teacher in inner city, and he took some children to a string quartet performance. He practiced them on all the different instruments that would be there. He said, this is what it's all about. They listened to some music recordings, so they would know what they're going to listen to. They'd never, never had heard anything like that. And so when he got there, they were mesmerized as they listened to this quartet play. Afterwards, they got to visit with the musicians. And one of them said to the very tall celloist there, she said, I really want to do that. I really would like to play one of those. And he said, you can. You can probably be even better than me. She said, no, I can't. How do you even learn? And he said, you practice. There are no shortcuts. There is only practice. And he watched that whole interaction as she was so inspired. And he changed the banner above his chalkboard. And he changed it to, there are no shortcuts. I think each of us must decide if we will be a people of shortcuts and coming late. Is that just who we're going to be? Will people know us like that? Are we just going to make excuses for that? Or are we going to go pro? And are we going to be a person who is taking this ministry seriously? Going to be here on time. Anticipate what's going to happen. We're going to pray. We're going to have things ready. Because any of us could walk in and slap it out of on the tables and pull it out of the cabinets. And we could make it happen. I mean, please, we're preschool teachers. We can do that. Pull it out of the cabinets and make it happen. We've been called in emergencies. Somebody's kid throwing up, you better go in there and teach. I'm on it. Go in there, pull it out of the cabinets. We're going to do this and make it happen. And you can do it. Satan would like for you to do that always, and he would steal your joy if it became that way. So be careful that you guard that. That you bring to this early childhood classroom what it needs. The next one is enthusiasm. Enthusiasm through it all. Enthusiasm is the swing of your gait. It's the smile on your face. It's the grip of your handshake. It's that irresistible urge to put action to what it is that you're doing. That it could be at its very best. When others would say, oh, I want to be a teacher like you. I don't know how you get those kids to do that. They look and see the difference you make. Your enthusiasm has a lot to do with that. Now, I am a happy person. I just am. And I have learned a long time ago to smile. Everybody right now, smile. Show your teeth. They cost a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's fake. I can see. That's a fake smile. But the truth is, the science says that even a fake smile gives you the same chemistry as a you're happy laughing smile. So you have to fake it till you feel it. You just have to fake it. So get that happy lipstick out and put it on. You know? Okay, when I worked at Lifeway, I'm going to tell you this. I won't tell you her name because you're like related to her. But I was, the traffic in Nashville made me really nervous. And so I was getting in the elevator, going up to our floor. And you know how the doors of an elevator are kind of mirror-like? And so I was standing there just faking it till I feel it. You know, just come on, kick in, come on. And it's like, it's going to be here. And so the doors opened. I walked off the door, walked out, and I went down the hall, and there she was. She was coming down the hall. She had a cart. I won't tell you her name. And so she's coming down the hall. And I thought, oh, my gosh, she's the saddest, grumpiest woman. I wished I'd gone down a different hall. You know, have you ever felt that way? Mm-hmm. At a grocery store? I've had a lady hold on to my basket, and I was like, okay, you can have it. Have it all. You know, because she just couldn't listen to another bit of it. And am I the only one? And so, okay. And so, anyway, I saw her coming. And so I thought, that's it. I'm going to smile, and I'm going to make her happy. And so I am just smiling it up. And she's getting closer to me. I'm really turning it on. And so she's getting closer to me, and then she cuts me off with that cart. And I stopped, and I said, good morning. And she said, listen, I just have one question for you. And I said, sure, anything. You know, I just had it going. And she said, are you always this happy? And I said, I think so. I must just be like liquored up in Jesus or something. And she moved her cart. She smiled. And I walked away going, liquored up in Jesus? Where did that come from? I don't even know where that came from. But she did smile. That was good news. And I don't know where your enthusiasm comes from, but I want to encourage you to use it. What you bring in your classroom, people are drawn to that. You have parents who, you're the front door of your church. Do you realize you're the face of the church? When they drop their children off, you're the one they engage with. And so you do set a huge tone for all of that. So enthusiasm through it all. Fake it till you feel it. The next one is C is consistency. Consistency in your life will bless you and will bless others. Have you ever been paired up with someone at work, volunteer, I don't know, that you had to work with, they were inconsistent, like they didn't show, or they didn't get their part done that they said they were going to do? Can you testify? Has that happened to you? That's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Well, guess what? When you're inconsistent, it's hard for the kids. They don't know what to expect. Are you there? Are you coming? Are we going to do anything? Is it just Play-Doh again? I mean, your inconsistency is hard for them. And since the classroom has such inconsistency and not, you understand the goal is predictability. If they can predict what's going to happen, they're pretty secure. They feel safe because they always know their teacher's going to do this, going to announce we're going to do the cleanup, we're going to do the group time, we're going to, you know what I'm saying? Lots of variety, but it's so predictable. They know, and that breeds security. So your inconsistency is a huge problem if that's what you are bringing to it. Be sure to clean your room. Oh, I should have mentioned that. Clean your room and clean your room. And clean out your cabinet. Some of us only use the, 4 inches of the edge to put everything in. So be careful that you clean that stuff out and have it ready to go. All those things help communicate how important it is in your class. Consistency is huge. Then the last one is tenacity to stick with it. Tenacity to stick with it. T-E-N-A-C-I-T-Y. T-E-N-A-C-I-T-Y. Tenacity. It means to stick with it. It means to stick with it. I like to start. Isn't starting fun? Oh, it just feels good to start. But it's really the finish line that counts. It's when you finish. I used to lead a children's camp for Oklahoma Baptist, and I hired 30 college students every summer, and they were wonderful. I love them to death, and I get lots of wedding invitations and birth announcements now. I can't afford all their showers. And I loved how they invested their life into children through the summer. We had 13 camp weeks, and we went from beginning to end. It was straight through. And one summer, it was so hot, it was ridiculous. We were over 100 degrees by 11 o'clock every day. It was miserable. The pool was so warm, no one wanted to be in it. It just was hot. Everything was dried up. I had staffers getting sick because of the heat. It was horrible. And I gathered them together, and I said, here's the truth. I could tell you how wonderful you are, because you are. I could tell you how much I love you, because I do. I could prop you up with every prop I could think of, but it would not be enough to work in this heat. It would not. The Bible says, if any man comes after me, he must deny himself. He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is where you get to practice that verse, and I do too. We're going to deny ourselves. We don't deny ourselves of hardly anything, really. And we're going to pick up our cross, the one God trusted to us this week. And we're going to give these kids as good as they had the first week when we were fresh and we loved them. We loved the whole thing, and now we hate it. But we're going to give it to them because it's not about us. We're giving it because of God. This is your sacrifice of praise. This is where you get to lay it before the Father and say, I love you. Thank you for what you've done in my life. This is where you give back. Now, we're not looking at high heat. We're not looking at those things. We're looking at busy, crazy life going on. And you'll have to decide, in the calling that God has given me, will I put things away so that I can go pro, that I can give my very best back to God in the lives of these children? Will I do that? And that'll be your connection point to all of them. And if that happens, my friend, you may actually hear a child say, I don't want to leave your class. You're dismissed. Oh, no, you don't want to be dismissed yet. I'm giving away a card. Isn't that right, Brianna?
Yes.
Okay, great. But it is time. Okay, what is this? Which card do I give? The iTunes card? Okay, give this away. They fill out this and give it back to you. Okay, great. Okay, and let me also say that I have my storybook back there. If you would like to look at it, they're $10. And she's going to be my Vanna. And just thank you. And it's a story of when I was taking my son to school and I shouted, I love you, out the window. I didn't even honk the horn. And all the proceeds go to help fund adoption. So if you would like to, it's a really fun book. And I'm going to give the card to whoever's birthday is the closest to mine, August 3rd. 28th, 25th, 9th, 7, 17, 5. You're the winner. Very good. Okay, y'all take a break. You need it. Get up and move around. in the hall.